Some little chaps are stopping in this morning. Hey. And this morning I just want to talk about David and Goliath, which is 1 Samuel 17. It's a pretty hefty chapter, but I think most people know about 1 Samuel. Well, I know about David and Goliath. So I'm going to ask some of the littler people if they want to come out and tell us what they know about the story of David and Goliath. And if you want to come, you can sit here across the front and just tell us anything. It doesn't have to be that much important, so don't freak out and panic. But if you know anything about it and you want to come out, do you want to come out? Come and sit across here. Esther, have you anything you want to be adding, you want to say, or Harriet? Or Aaron, who's hiding? No. I'll need you out here. Chloe, if you want. Anybody else want to come out? It is. So, do any of you guys know anything about David and Goliath? Don't look so wood. Okay. You tell us what you know, and the girls can add to it.
Goliath's a giant.
That's a good start. Goliath's a giant.
David knocked him out with a stone.
He knocked him out, that was right, with a stone.
There was David. He was trying to fight a giant, and all the strong people couldn't do it. But then David saw that nobody could do it and thought he didn't have any armour, he didn't have to wear God's armour, but he knew that he already had God's armour and believed in God. So all he used was the stone and beat the giant.
Wow. Well. He jumped out to it.
He then took Goliath's sword and chopped off his head.
He did. Chopped off his head. Come on, have anything else to think? What did he use?
David was chosen to be king.
He was, yes. Okay, anything else you want to add? You're thinking, it's a big story. Guys, well, Aaron, have you got anything you'd like to add? No. 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 Darwin? No. Harriet? No. Okay, guy. He was a shepherd, you're right. Well, thanks, guys. You sit down there, you'll go back. They will do. I was going to have all the kids lined up here and see who could eat these things without actually using their hands. So they'd have to hold them in their mouth and see who could eat it really fast. And with the look of all the kids, now I've got their attention. So if you're a kid, want to be a kid, and I can have 15, we'll have a quick speed up and see who can just come back and stand up at front. Come on in. Come on, Harriet. Darwin, do you want to? That's what I like. Come on, quickly. Anybody else? Right, so do you just want to just hold that? When we say go, you just got to put it in your teeth and then you can let go of it. And it's the first one to eat it. Go on, just put it in your mouth, just a little bit in your mouth, and see who can eat it without using their hands. Ready, steady, go. Try to drop them. Oh, oh. I think Amy got that one. There, yeah, you can take it steady this time. Joking. That's a prize. You can have these guys later on. Before Ian sacks us for eating sweets in church. You can eat that later on, can't you? You can go sit down, yes, thank you. One of the things that David used to, the thing that he used to knock down Goliath were a sling, and I couldn't find anything. And I was going to bring in those long red things and use that as a sling, but I thought by the time you dangle that one, it'd take us a week for someone to eat it. So we just use the little ones. But that just helps you now keep concentrated while you pull all the bits out of your teeth. If you've got a Bible, it's in Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, and I'm not going to be too long, but most of you know the story already. Israel, under Saul, the king, goes out to battle against the Philistines, or the Philistines, and they are on one hillside, and the Philistines are on the other side. So you've got Israel on one side, you've got the Philistines on the other, and you've got a valley between them, and they all line up together, and they're ready to go to war. They're in battle mode, they've geared up, they've got the face paint on, they're ready to rock and roll. And suddenly, a guy from the other side pops up and goes, "Forget killing everybody. Why don't we just have a one-to-one fight? And if any of your guys, one of your guys can kill me, then you win. And if we kill you, we win." Which in principle sounds about right. Sounds like, why should everybody else die? But the fact is that the enemy was fighting on his rules because he were about 9 foot tall. Now, I'm not 9 foot tall, and I'm not 6 foot tall, but say David was, they reckon David wasn't a kid when he did this. He was probably at least a teenager, if not early 20s. He was a young lad, a young guy. So he'd probably been about 5 and a half, maybe 5 3/4, if you want to put it in old money. So about my size, I like that. And it says that Goliath were about 9 foot. So from the floor, that would have mean his head would have been up here. So he said, I could have got Malcolm out here. I could have sat someone on his shoulders and give you. So he's about up here, and David's down here. So there's at least 3 foot difference between them. So David is not going to be able to throw a punch and hit him in the head. Putting it bluntly. But the problem was that as Israel went out to fight, Israel had got dressed up for the occasion, and Goliath popped up. And suddenly Israel took the advantage of hiding behind the stall. A new defense mechanism of hiding. You see, Saul, it says in the Bible, was at least probably 7 foot tall. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. So Saul, the king, would have been more able to at least punch him in the head. But Goliath came out to meet him and meet them and says, "One of you fight me." You see, for every one of us this morning, we've all got battles to fight. There may be something in our lives right now, or there may be something on the horizon. And we use different terminology. Sometimes we say we're going to war or we're fighting a giant. This is where the idea of fighting a giant comes from. Because David is probably one of the people in the Bible who highlights what a believer should live like, other than the big mess he made. But generally, that's the sort of life as believers we should live, a person that knows how to pray and worship and battle and fight and stand for God. But Goliath were trying to dictate the terms. In all our lives, we've got battles to fight, and yet we've got to make sure that the enemy doesn't dictate the terms of the fight. When I was younger, I used to get into situations, especially if it were more than, if it were two or three of the other side and I was on my own. One thing I'd do, I'd hit one of them as hard as I could and then run. Now, I could run. Now, I was like Forrest, Forrest Gump, I could run. And I would make them chase me. And as they ran after me, I could run and keep running and keep running and keep running. Because now we're fighting on my terms, because I knew that they couldn't run. And as they slowed down, one of them would get left behind, one of them would be behind me and the rest would be in the distance. And as soon as there were one behind me, I'd turn around and start the fight. And when his mates caught up, then I'd run again. Because I was fighting on my terms. But the enemy will always try to fight on his terms. Now, if you jump into the Bible, at Samuel chapter 17, it says this. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Sukkot in Judah and pitched their camp. And it says, Saul and the Israelites had assembled their camp in the valley and the enemy and drew up the enemy lines to meet the Philistines." So they were doing what they were knew to do, draw up the lines, stand together. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites the other, with a valley between them. And verse 4, it said, "A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out from the Philistine camp, And he was over 9 feet tall, so he was slightly bigger than Malcolm. And he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scales of armour of bronze that weighed 500 shekels, which, according to this, is about 57 kilos. That was his armour that he had, and so it was heavy-duty stuff. And it says that his legs were covered in shin guards. I can't remember what it says. And he had a bronze javelin and swung over his back. His spear was like a weaving rod, and it had an iron point weighing about 600 shekels, which is about 15 pounds, 7 kilos. And his shield bearer went before him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man to come down here and fight me, and he will be able to fight me and kill me. We will become subjects to you. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become subject and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let me fight each other." On hearing this, the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. See, nothing had happened yet, except for one man had stood up and gone, "Come on, if you think you're hard enough." He stood there and said, "I'm a big chap, come and take me on." And Saul and the Israelites were terrified. Now, I'm not being funny, but if I were in an army of people and one guy stepped forward with his armor bearer, if they'd have all rushed him, they'd have sorted him out, wouldn't they? But he was saying, "One of you come forward." But they didn't fight in ones, they fought as an army together, they stood together. That's the importance of being together in the church and being together, as David was sharing about being built together, that we stand together. When the enemy comes and says, "I'm going to take you on as an individual, I'm going to fight you," then we need to know we've got people around us that will stand with us. But David knew something different than just standing together with people. The story continues that David was sent by his dad to bring some cheeses and some bread to his brothers. And he came into the camp on this morning. Goliath had been shouting this for 40 days by now. So in the morning he'd shout it, and on the evening. And Jesse had sent David and told him, "Go check how your brothers are doing." And he says this because they are fighting the Philistines in the valley. You see, dad thought that his sons were fighting. But when David got there, they were not fighting, they were hiding. You see, we're called to be soldiers of God, which means we engage. And our fighting for us as believers is on our knees, praying. And yet Jesse thought that his sons were in the valley fighting, but when David got there, they weren't fighting. How many times do we think that people, you know, we're fighting the good fight, we're for the cause, but really we're not. We sound like we've got the right words, we say the right things, but we're not really fighting, we're hiding. And yet God wants us to stand and to stand tall. So David came into the camp, and it is interesting, if you read through the story, he hears Goliath shout off this thing, and David goes, "Well, what's going to be given to the man who takes him out?" I mean, you can really sense David, like, you know, what am I going to get if I take him out? David saw this as an opportunity for advancement. We're often, as believers, when the enemy comes or a giant comes against us, we see the prospect of the fight. David didn't see the fight. He saw the reward that was going to come to him after the fight. So in David's mind, he'd already sorted out Goliath. You know, you're not going to get paid till you do the job, are you? So he was thinking, well, if I go sort him out, what am I going to get paid? But many worry about the fight instead of saying, what's going to happen when I take him out? What's going to happen to me? What good is going to come to me? You see, I don't know what battles you've fought or what you will fight, but one thing I do know, that every fight that you overcome, every giant you knock down, it's not just killing one giant. You, in a sense, you're promoted, you move on. You go to bigger and better things. Now, David was already anointed king, and he was coming into the presence. The way to kingship for David was through Goliath. You see, many of us see giants as an obstacle, but actually a giant in your life can actually spring you forward into what God's got for you. It's a great opportunity to move forward. And yet many believers will not fight with giants because they think, why should I? I'm all right here. Some CD that we listened to, me and Joe, years ago by a guy called Paul Scanlon, and he talked about death by containment. How believers and how Christians die by being contained. You see, we were never created to stay static. We were never created to stay the same. Guys, if you've not changed in the last 10 years, there's a problem. Everything grows. And if you're not growing, there's a problem. Yes, you might have a bit more knowledge of the Bible. You might have a different prayer life. But you need to be expanding yourself and pushing the boundaries. You see, kids, when you become a certain age, I'll talk to the kids now. When you become a certain age, adults stop growing. I mean, physically. But it takes a time where internally, in our minds, we stop growing. Guys, never stop growing and advancing in what God... Don't stop being educated. Don't stop growing on the inside. Because, guys, back to everybody, when you stop growing, you become contained. You know the old analogy, you put some flies in a jar with a lid on them, they jump up and down, jump up and down, jump up. You take the lid off after so long, they'll only jump so high. Your mother can jump out. A baby elephant that can strap its leg with a stake to the floor and it'll pull against it. As an adult, you can put a little wooden peg in the floor and it remembers it can't break free, even though it could. Guys, there's many of us in this room and probably listening to this who have been contained because of a Goliath that stood there and gone, I'm bigger than you. I'm bigger than you. I'm better than you. But David didn't see him as bigger, better. David didn't see the armor. He didn't see the helmet. It's listed all these things because that's what the Israelites saw. They saw his weapons. They saw how tall he was. They saw how mighty he was. David didn't see any of that. He saw the reward. He saw beyond that. But often we only see who we've got to fight. We don't see who's fighting for us and what we're going to get if we stand. You see, the Bible talks a lot about standing in the armour of God. And when you've done everything, Ephesians 6, it says, when you've done everything to stand, then stand. You see, as we've been taught over years, we're to make screams and shouts and huff and puff and blow the house down. But the Bible says to us, stand in the armour of God. We don't have to fight physically. We don't have to be going at it. We don't have to be exhausting ourselves. We've got to stand. Just stand. Lean in to the shield of faith, with a sword in your hand, the word of God, relying on the helmet of salvation. I'm saved, I know I'm saved. The righteousness of God in Christ on our chest, the truth around us, our Doc Martens of the gospel on our feet, and we stand. And yet as the Goliath rises up, we back off. Oh, I can't. Most Christians back away from things before anything's even happened because of fear. Because something rises up and goes, take me on if you dare, I'm going to rip your head off, or whatever. But actually, it never happens. Most people run away from what is a preconceived idea of what might be. I don't have many regrets of what could have been because I've often gone for it. And I encourage people to go for stuff, go for it in God. Take on the giants, take on the big ones. He uses, and we know the story, he went out there, they tried putting the armor on him, it didn't quite fit. You can't wear somebody else's armor. You can't go to battle in my experience. But I can stand with you in your battle. If you read the story, it's interesting that he says, I'll go fight him. And his brother says, where have you left those few sheep? Who are you? His own brothers were really encouraging him, weren't they? Who are you? Even though Saul had said, the guy who takes this man on, his family will be exempt from taxes. Now, if I knew my family were going to be exempt from taxes, I'd be saying to Ethan, go fight. Go on, get in there. Because I won't be paying taxes anymore. You know what I mean? Go take him out, mate. You know? But his brothers are going, who do you think you are? Who are you? Where's those few sheep that you've left? He didn't get much encouragement. But he went before Saul. And Saul's chanting to him and saying, you can't do this. And David's saying, I can. And then we jump into verse 32. It says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart according to this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. So David said, don't panic. Don't worry. I'm going to go. It's interesting. He says, let no one lose heart according to this Philistine. And Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my father's house, there's, you know, many rooms. If you want us, so I'll be telling you, I'm going to go there, prepare a place for us, and then I'm going to come back. So Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. David says, let no one lose heart because of him. Saul then tries to encourage us, you are not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. It's a, in a sense, derogative term. He has been fighting since youth. Saul's looking at the man. David was looking at something completely different. David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried one of them off from the flock, I went after him, struck down and rescued the sheep. And I took it out of his mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it with the air and struck it and killed it. You can really imagine. I mean, I've not fought many lions. German shepherds, I've fought a load of them. But lions and bears, I have not. But David runs after the lion. I mean, would you run after a lion? Take the sheep and go. But he's there going, no, I'm going. Why? Because he knew who he trusted. He said, your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine, guys, if you want to know what uncircumcised is, talk to your parents. Right? This uncircumcised, there's a cup of tea coming my way in the back. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. He says, God helped me when I killed the lion and the bear, and this man is going to be no different. I'm going to take him out like I took them out. And he says this, the reason why he had so much confidence is because, this is David, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord has delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion, and he will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. David saw the reward and he trusted in God. God saved me from the lion, God saved me from the bear, and now he's going to save me from this giant, this Philistine. And not only that, he's defied God by defying the army. How many people are defying the church? Who are you? Who do you think you are? The church should fit into our... They're defying the church and the church is rolling over and submitting. Instead of standing up and saying, who do you think you are? Defying the church, the body of the living God. Who do you think you are telling us what we should preach and what we should think and what we should do? Instead of saying, no, we're trusting in the word of God. Who do you think you are? But David trusted in what had happened in the past. And God delivered him. Guys, your testimony is so powerful. It's so unbelievable. And yet we often keep it quiet and don't trust it. The Bible says that they overcome him. We talk about Satan by the blood of their lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcome the enemy by the blood of the lamb. What's that? That's the finished work of Jesus. Everything Jesus did on the cross, they overcome Satan by the finished work of Jesus and the word of their testimony. Why? Because when God's helped you once, you know he's going to help you again. And when he's helped you twice, he's going to help you again. And the giants are getting bigger and bigger, but you think, hang on a minute, I took that little kid out. I took that little person out, and that bigger person, and that bigger one. Now I can take on the giant. Are you seeing where it goes? You've got to trust God. You've trusted God in the past, in the small things. Now you can trust him in the big things. Or maybe you've not been trusting God in the small things, and that's why we're worrying about the big things. Guys, you need to learn to trust God. Trust the Lord, our God, with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our strength, with everything that's in us. We need to trust him. Sorry, that's love the Lord, your God. I was mixing up Proverbs and John together there. We need to trust the Lord, our God. With, no, I'm off again with that one. That's love your God. Look it up in Proverbs. Is it 3, verse 5 to 6? Ethan, what is it? Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Guys, if there's a giant on your path, God says, I'm going to make it straight. So think about it. There's a giant in the way on your path, and God says, trust me, and I will make that path straight. So somebody's going to move on that path. And it ain't going to be God. It's going to be the giant. So we can choose to sit down and camp before the giant, like the Israelites did, or we can take on that giant, knock it out of the way, and move into all that God's got for us. I like big talk like this. And then, so we know the story. David tried getting dressed in the army. It didn't work. And David went out. And jumping to verse 41, it said, meanwhile, the Philistine and his armor bearer, so actually there were two of them, but a giant man and another man carrying his shield for him, went in front of him, kept coming closer to David. David looked over and saw, he looked over at David and saw he was only a boy. And he despised him. And he says, am I a dog that you should come out with a stick? Am I a dog? You know, when you take on the enemy, put him in his place. Who do you think you are? Let me tell you who's on me, with me. He's just like a dog. He says, you know, am I a dog that you come up with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And I love what David's response is. See, all that's happened so far is a lot of spouting off. This is what you call bravado. You often see men doing it, oh, you stick the chest out. You know what I mean? Stick the chest out and start mouthing off at each other. And then they get close and it's almost like, hold me back, hold me back. And they're just thinking, please, hold me back. Please, hold me back. Because they don't really want to fight. It's all about, you know, just making it up. But David's now in front of him, and David says to the Philistine, he says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, whose armies you have defied. It says, David says, this day, the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down. I will cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army. So he's taking it beyond him to the Philistine army, to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gather here will know that it is not by sword or spear. It's the Lord that saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. David knows where he stands. You see, we fight battles and we don't realize who we are in Christ. We don't know what's going on the battlefield. And we're panicking about the enemy that's coming for us. Well, they've got the law on their side. Well, we've got God on ours. David says, everything, God's going to hand you over to me. When you face a battle, you need to start speaking out and saying, this battle belongs to the Lord. And God's already given me the victory. You see, Jesus went through the cross and he said, it is finished, meaning I have won. Yeah. So every battle that we've got to fight, it's already been predetermined that we win. Yes. But I've not fought yet. No, but you win. Okay. Jesus looks at you, and that's why he looks at you and talks to you and says, you're a winner. Yeah. And you're thinking, I've not fought anybody. No, you're a winner to him because he sees you winning. You might be a loser to you because he sat down doing naught. Guys, we need to get out of our comfort zones, our ruts, whatever you want to call it, and start expanding ourselves and taking on giants. You know, the younger people in the church are looking to the older people to see what giants we're slaying. I said, we are slaying. Because they want to see us do it so they can do it. But if we're, you know, whining about it, they're not going to fight. They want to see us, who's got the experience in God, stand up and fight. Not that we're not looking at each other. When I first got saved, there were some great men and women of God, people in their 40s, they were really old in those days, 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80-year-olds. Some of these women used to get into prayer and they wouldn't budge till God answered them. And they would stay there. They were in their 80s and people go, you should go home now. God's not finished yet. You know, meetings used to go on for hours and hours and people were there and they just carried on. It wasn't, I need to go home and watch, you know, Antiques Roadshow. They used to fight through and go for it. But it's interesting how David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. And this is what God really spoke to me about when I read this. He said, the enemy will come against you with all sorts. He'll come against you with sickness. He'll come against you with disease. He'll come against you with depression. He'll come against you with no hope. He'll come against you with fear. And whatever he comes against you, David's response is, you might come against me, enemy, and you might name whatever it is. It could be sickness, it could be disease, it could be fear, depression. It could be anything there. You come against me, but I stand here. I come against you. I come against you, he says, in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. I come against you, devil, you know, whatever he comes against me at or against you, you need to stand there and say, no, I come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name every knee will bow, whose name that every tongue will confess is Lord. Devil, you might throw sickness at me, but I come back against you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the battle belongs to the Lord. It's who do you stand in? Who do you stand in? Do you stand in your own strength and your own armor? Or do you say, no, I'm standing here because I'm a child of God. And when fear comes, no, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Good song, but most people are shaking when they're saying it. You know, but no, I'm not a slave to fear, I hope. And we need to stand our ground and start progressing. Guys, if you're still breathing, God's still got a plan for your life. And if you've got a plan for your life, you've got a battle to fight and giants to slay. Now, most people, if not everybody in this room, is breathing. Therefore, you've all got giants to knock out. But if you go against your giant, whoever that might be, it could be work, it could be anything, and they come against you saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you can stand there and say, okay. You might say that. You might come against me with this and with that. But I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. I stand in the name of Jesus Christ. And God's going to give me deliverance in this. Because David didn't say, you come against me with sword and shield, but I stand in the name of the Lord. He said this. He actually prophesied what was going to happen. You see, people say, until it happens, you shouldn't say nothing. No, in a battlefield situation, you need to start saying, not only am I going to overcome you, but in this, I'm going to be promoted. In this, I'm going to be delivered. In this, I'm going to be set free. In this battle, I'm going to see great reward. See, most of us are just happy to survive the fact we've killed a giant. But there's rewards thereafter. David wasn't going to go to battle for nothing. Yeah? He'd already sorted out his tax deal with the king. He'd already sorted out what's going on. Guys, we need to take on the giants. Not just knock them out of our lives, but put them down and bury them, chop their heads off so they never rise again, and then receive the rewards of what's beyond it. Now, it's not about rewards, people saying. You go to work, don't you? I don't know what rewards are, by the way. They could be anything. But one thing I do know, for every battle you do fight and every giant you do knock down, there is a promotion of kind, not just at work or anything like that, but there's a stepping up. There's a stepping up. Some of you guys have been wanting God to promote you for years, and God's going, I'm desperate to promote you. Knock the stupid giant down first. Get rid of it. But I can't. Get rid of it and move forward. Some of us have conditioned our minds so well that we've boxed ourselves in, that if anything happens outside our box, it freaks us out. Guys, we need to pick up the boxes that we've built around our lives, set them on fire and chuck them out. It's called containment. And you can't kill a giant while being contained. David went before Goliath with a sling. It's a piece of leather strapped with an alder on one end and put a rock in it or a stone and he'd flick it around. Now, the Jews are brilliant at this. You know, they used to be able to kill rabbits with it. And he's swinging this around and Goliath's is spouting off. And David hit him. You can't spin a rock in a box. See, I could use a term about a cat, but we can't go there, can we? You know, you can't spin a rock and smack Goliath down when you're contained in your own little life. Yes, it's safe, but there's no giants being knocked down while it's safe. There's nothing being killed in your life. You see, God didn't save us just so that we could exist. He saved us so we could have life and life to the full. Amen. Joe was laughing at me earlier on yesterday because I've got a car out there and it looks great at the minute, but in certain lights it looks beige. And I don't like beige. Oh. Beige is just mediocrity. You can wear beige when you get old, I'm told. Have you got beige on? No. He's only a couple of years older than me. You've got a case of you need to break out. God didn't save you to be beige. He didn't save you to fit in. He saved you so you may have a life and have it to the full. And do you know, I'll tell you this, I'll be honest with you. When you've knocked one giant down, guess what? There's another one just beyond him. And another one. But when you've knocked one down, and you're not two down. You get on a run, don't you? And people might say, oh, it's all right, you've done that. You're all right, you don't have to worry about it. Guys, I don't really worry too much about what people say about me, because that'll contain our lives. And you need to be careful what people say about you, even if it's positive, because it's what God says about us that really matters. David's brothers were negative toward him. Saul was negative to him. But David went out there, and it says in verse 50, so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. He went out there and he killed him. But David always remembered this, because he ran over, picked up a sword off Goliath, chopped off his head, held his head in one hand, the sword in the other, and stood there while everybody else went and killed everybody else. He stood there. He didn't put the sword down, and he didn't put the head down till he got his reward. Look at what I've killed, and now I want paying for it. Later on, that sword appears, it comes back up. Later on, it's still there. David's still using that sword. It's an amazing thing. You see, not only do we take the giant down, we disarm what that giant had against us. We disarm what's coming against us. They might come against us with javelin, spear. They may come against you with sickness, with disease, with depression, with fear, with, you know, we needing deliverance, whatever you want to put in that bracket. But when you've killed that giant, you take off that armor off him. What he's come against you, if it's come against you with sickness, you take it and say, never again. Never again. When he comes against you with anything, never again. I'm not having it. And when it rears its head up again, years later, you just remind it, I knocked your head off before. I'll do it again. The devil will always try and have a go. And you need to stand your ground and keep going. Amen. Amen. I hope it's been encouraging for you, because I'm going to really encourage you now, because some of you are going to have battles to fight this week. And some of you are going to have battles to fight next month. And you're going to have to stand on the word of God, and you're going to have to stand your ground. Guys, if you don't really know much about the armor of God, read Ephesians 6. Standing in the armor of God, and just say, you know, Jesus, I'm trusting you. And also, if you've not fought anything for a long time, if you've allowed a wall of containment to be built around you, you might need to knock it down. You might need just to knock it down and expand what God's doing. Guys, you may be comfortable in the walled area. It's safe. It's a bunker. But we weren't safe to hide in a bunker. We were saved to make a difference. So go knock out some giants, amen. Not, I'll get the, not a jail free card. Not literally, okay, Malcolm. Be running out of dance. No. I'm talking metaphorically. Spiritually. Yes, go knock them all out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me just pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, that in all things you are above everything. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, that you have defeated the devil, the principalities, the powers, everything that might set itself up against you, Lord Jesus. You have already defeated, Lord, and as we are in you and you are in us, we know that we're on the winning side, that we're victorious in you. Lord, reminding us, Lord, that we are your children, that we can stand with our heads held high, that we can walk forward in you. Trust in you that not only have you gone before us, Lord, that the giants that come our way, Lord, that you will, we will stand in you and knock them down in your strength, Lord Jesus, just trusting in you. Lord God, I thank you for everyone here and say, Lord, we pronounce a blessing over everyone. We say that every giant that's setting itself up against these people will be knocked down by them in the name of Jesus. Everything that's setting itself up against anyone in this room will be knocked down in the name of Jesus. Lord God, just move by your spirit in our lives to stand tall in you. Amen. 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 If anybody, there's a cup of teas out there, there's a Swiss roll somewhere. But if you want some prayer, then do come forward. There's Ian and Jean and Nigel and Louisa, there's me and Joe, and you just come forward, we can pray with you. Have a good time of fellowship, and see you tonight.